Okay, today's tonight's drasha is sponsored by Nishmat's Rachel Bashlomo for the Schwartz family, sponsoring Le'ilu Nishmas Rachel Bashlomo. The Torah we learned together should be Le'ilu Nishmasa. The yahrzeit is tonight. I also want to recognize, I can't see all the screens, there's many screens, Baruch Hashem, but as usually Shabbos Shuvah is around the time, my father's 85th birthday was today. Hope, Daddy, that you're watching, and you should have arichus yamim v'shanim ad me'ah ve'esrim shana and beyond for many years, and brakara da'avuha. So I just daven that I should keep being able to share words of Torah with you, and you with me, and Mommy. It is a Shabbos Shuvah drasha, but it's not on Shabbos this year, which makes it a little more challenging. It's the first Shabbos Shuvah drasha that's not on Shabbos. We already had a Shabbos Hagadol drasha, not on Shabbos. But it's it loses something in a certain sense. But this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And that's what we'll talk about a little bit, because we need to react to the world that we are in. And usually I start with a story of the Maggid giving a shiur, but I thought I start off with a different story this year, being that it's a different type of drasha. A story that's connected to the time that we're in. It was pointed out to me, and I looked it up. It's true. In Singapore, the COVID rate is very, very low. Very low. Why? Because it's an island, and they close their borders, and nobody goes in, and nobody goes out, and that's it. They sealed. And that's why it's low. Nobody's going in, nobody's going out. The problem is almost the whole country travels for a living. They travel, they import, they export, and the population is going a little crazy because they're so used to traveling. And they need to go in and out. They don't know what to do with themselves. And Singapore Airlines is going bankrupt because there's no flights. Oh, so Singapore Airlines came up with an amazing idea. It's not so amazing that they came up with it because they want to make money. It's amazing that people pay for it. They're offering flights to nowhere. They're offering flights. You go to the airport. You give in your bags. You get a cup of coffee and you sit in the lounge. You get on the plane and you fly around for 2 hours and you come back to the same airport that you took off from. And they even throw in hotel rooms, because to go just to a hotel straight, nobody's going to want to do that. But after you fly, you feel, you know, whatever it's called, staycation, whatever they call it, you know. What's the message? You hear that story, you're like, that's drasha material. You read that article. Sometimes we take off and we start a process and we feel that we're going to end up in the same place that we started with. And we wonder, is it really worth it? We wonder, is it really going to get us anywhere? Where, yes, we're going to push and we're going to do tshuva and we're going to try to be inspired and we're going to this and we're going to that. But, you know, given the past number of decades in our life, we'll kind of be the similar types of people with new ideas, with new feelings, hopefully. So is it really worth it to put in the effort and to push it, to try to fly? And the answer is, maybe we wouldn't pay for those flights. But in terms of the tshuva process, the process has such value and such staying power, and something will stay with us even if we end up close to the same situation that we were in when we started. Even if we hope and we yearn and we daven that we can land after the Yomim Noraim in a different world, in a world without masks, in a world where not only your masks aren't on, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mask isn't on. And we yearn for that. But even if not, and even if we end up temporarily in the same space, we have to know that the process and the travel time and lifting off makes an impression and shapes who we are, even if we might not realize it. So let's learn something from Singapore Airlines. It might not be worth it in the physical realm and in olam hazeh to pay for that money, pay for that flight, but in the spiritual realm, it's all worth it. Because we strive to make a difference. So let's get into this year's topic for the Shabbos Shuva Drasha. Past years, you remember we've spoken about Kol Nidrei, Baruch Shem Kavod, the Satan, different types of tshuva, vidui. Tonight we'll talk about something major that we've never touched on, and that is the five inuyim. The five inuyim, the prohibitions that we're not allowed to be involved with on Yom Kippur. When we think about Yom Kippur, usually the first thing we think of is, oh my gosh, I have to fast. How hot, this year especially, how hot is it going to be? 95% of the shaylas that the rabbi gets before Yom Kippur, Kal v'chomer this year, is about fasting. This year there's a couple others, chazanim, could I skip this, what do I skip, what do I sing? And you don't really get ni'ilas ha'sandal shaylas, not too many. Or sicha shaylas, smearing, but there are some. Or malacha shaylas. What are the he'inuyim about? There's such a major role. Over the past couple of days, I personally have gotten a number of shaylas, mostly from women. You know, if I go out and I'm going to be hot and I'm going to have to drink, is it better to drink b'shi'urin? I said, stay home. Because it's more important to fast. And if somebody thinks that if they're outside, they won't be able to fast, so that's the first priority. Try to go to chakra, see how you feel. If a man won't be able to fast, he should stay home. Because that's much more important than tefillah b'tzibur, that's a daraisa. Halavai, we should all be out in minyanim and be able to fulfill all of the mitzvahs hayom. But the question is, what is it all about? What is it meant to give to us? So the pasuk tells us in source number one, hopefully you have the source sheets, I sent it out on the Zoom. If not, I'll be reading everything. You can email it afterwards. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Emor, Ach ba'asar l'chodesh ha'shvi hazeh yom kippurim hu, mikra kodesh yelachem v'yinisem es nafsho seichem. On the 10th day of Tishrei, on the 7th month, that's only in a couple of days. A few days, 4 days. Now everything is in terms of 14 days. Our new life is everything is 14 days. This is only 4 days. 4 days away. Yom Kippur. Mikra kodesh v'yinisem es nafsho seichem. V'chol malacha lo sasu, be'etzem ha'yom hazeh, kiva yom ha'kippurim hu l'chaper aleichem, L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. Two psukim. Number one, afflict yourself. V'yinisem es nafsho seichem. Number two, v'chol malacha lo sa'asu. Do not do any malacha. And on the surface, we would say the pashtus is, these are two separate ideas. There's something called an isra malacha. You're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Kippur. And that's similar to Shabbos. Maybe to Yontif without the ochel nefesh. But we're used to that. We know isra malacha. And then there's inuyim, the prohibitions, eating, drinking, washing, shoes, and that has no model. That's unique. And those are two different worlds that are both commanded on Yom Kippur. And the Rambam himself counts four different mitzvos. And aseh and alo saseh by malacha, and aseh and alo saseh by inuyim. You have it there in source 2, 3, 4, and 5. The Rambam in Asei Kuf Samachei. Shetzivanu lishpos biyom zeben ha-malacha. It's a mitzvah asei not to do malacha, like Shabbos. Number 2, Shin Chavtes. His hiranu alos asei me'asos malacha biyom ha-kippurim. Not to do malacha on Yom Kippur. So those are two. And then we have the two isurim related to eating. Says the Rambam, Shetzivanu lithanos basir b'tishrei. You have to fast on the 10th day of Tishrei, and the Losa say. Fine, two different worlds. There's one problem, though, that we have to try to understand. And again, as the drasha always is, just to reiterate, the first half of the Shir, Be'ez Hashem, will be the lumdis conceptual analysis part. And then Be'ez Hashem, the second half will be the messages for our lives from that lumdis and from those messages. So the Rambam has inuyim and Malacha. The problem is, and the question is, in the Isser of Inui, the mitzvah of afflicting ourselves, the Rambam feels the need to mention the Isser Malacha as well. In Kuf Samach Dalit, Shetzivano was Anos Basir B'Tishrei, and then he quotes, Choba bo shvisam yuchedes b'malachos, v'shvisam yuchedes b'mazon, haguf v'kiyuma. What do the Inuyim have to do with the Isser Malacha? And it's not only the Rambam there, but if we look in Sefer HaMitzvos, he uses the magical word. Turning the page, source number 6. The magical word, the Rambam tells us, Lamanu mipi Hashmua, Aser Lercho, Tzolasu, Cholino. It's a mitzvah, all the Inuyim. And then he says in Halacha Vav, Kishem. Just like. Whenever the Rambam uses the word Kishem, just like, our ears open wide. My Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig always pointed that out to us. Whenever it says Kishem, the Rambam doesn't have to say Kishem. He could just tell us what the Halacha is. No. Just like there's an Isser Malacha by Yom HaBalayla, so too there's a mitzvah of Inui by Yom HaBalayla. What in the world does one have to do with the other? Just like we don't do Malacha, so too we fast. What's the connection between those two? Those are two different things that we happen to do on Yom Kippur. What's the connection between the two? Furthermore, the Torah never says, don't eat on Yom Kippur. The Torah does not say lo tocha. The Torah says, in the positive, afflict yourself. Ta'anu es nafshoseichem. So yes, the Rambam and the Moni HaMitzvos, most of them count a lo saaseh. Don't do this. Don't eat. But the question is, why does the Torah not formulate it like that? The Torah says it in the positive, afflict yourself. As if the Torah is telling us this is not about not doing something. Yeah, that's what, you not do something. But the ikar is to achieve a state of being that the Isurim are supposed to bring us to. Ta'anu, be in a state of Inui. That's the message that we get. The Torah formulates it not as don't, but do. What is that state? What are the Inuyim supposed to bring in us? What are we supposed to feel besides hungry? What are we supposed to feel emotionally through the Inui? And the question is especially pressing for the Shita of the Ran. For the Shita of the Ran. What Shita of the Ran? So there is a major machlokas rishonim. We're not going to have a whole shiur on this, but just to mention it. Major machlokas rishonim. We know you're not allowed to eat and drink midaraisa. Eating and drinking on Yom Kippur is an isser kares. That's the full isser. What about everything else? Wearing shoes, taking a shower. Major machlokas rishonim. Says the Rosh, say Bali Atosfas, say many rishonim. All the other isurim besides eating and drinking are isuri d'rabanan. Surah D'Rabbanan, after all, the Rush, Pirish Re, source number 9, Dahani Drashos, I skipped it, but in source number 8, the Inuyim, all the forbidden actions on Yom Kippur are learned out from Psukim. Says the Re, Asmachta Ba'alma. The Kohani Inuyim Midrabbanan, Chut Me'achila V'Shasiya. After all, only eating and drinking are Chayef Kares, so that shows they're the only ones that are Darais, so all the other ones are D'Rabbanan. Tachi Ma'ashilish the Gemara. But says the Rosh, no, it's an asmachta. It's a derabanan. After all, how could there be flexibility and leniencies? The Gemara says in the days of old, the king is allowed to wash his face on Yom Kippur. Because the king always has to look beautiful. If it's an Issa Daraisa, we allow a king to wash his face? A kala. A kala can wash her face. She just got married. What? Issa Daraisa. So the Rishonim say, the Re and the Rosh and others say, no, all the other ones are the Rabbanan. So if they're the Rabbanan already, the rabbis could tell us, you know, you can't do this, but this the Kala, the Melech could do it. That's what many Rishonim say, but that's not what the Rambam says. If you look back on the top of the page, the Rambam says, V'chein lamadnu mipi ha-shmua. We know from mipi ha-shmua means Torah Shebal Peh, but it means Daraisa. Aser lirchotz, o lasuch, o lino, hasandal, o livo, all the inuyim are daraisa. According to the, you don't get kares except for eating and drinking. But all the inuyim are daraisa. So then the question is, How are their leniencies? How is their flexibility? For example, how could the king wash his face? How could the kallah wash her face? Explains the Ran. I just gave it to you through the Kesef Mishnah. Because the Kesef Mishnah notes that the Rambam holds that there are all these surahs d'araisa, and then he says on the Rambam, so what do you do with the flexibility? See, he quotes the Ran a couple hundred years before. He quotes the Ran who uses the magical term that's used elsewhere in the Gemara. In the context of Isser Malacha and Chalamoe. Says the Ran, second to last line, Umasram Hakasiv Lachachamim. The Inuyim on Yom Kippur are in that unique category of Masra Hakasiv Lachachamim, which means sometimes the Torah itself allows the rabbis to determine the contours of the mitzvah itself, where the mitzvah applies and where the mitzvah does not apply. That's very unusual. The Gemara only says it in two places. It's very unusual. Usually the Torah says this and the rabbis say this. The rabbis don't tell us where the mitzvah d'araisa should apply, where it shouldn't. Once in a while we have that principle. Masra hakasav l'chachamim. The rabbis determine the contours where it should apply because they know the goal of the mitzvah. Like Isser Malacha and Chalamoi, the Gemara says it. They know the goal of Chalamoi if they can determine what's Aser. Says the Ran, they know the goal of the Inuyim on Yom Kippur. So they could say when it's Aser. When does the Torah say it's Aser? And when does the Torah say it's Mutter? But according to that, then we have the same question we asked before. What is that goal? The Rabbana knew the goal. The goal of Inuyim on Yom Kippur. What are the Inuyim supposed to bring us? They know the goal. Therefore, they can say a Kala and a Melech are allowed to wash. What is that goal? What are the Inuyim supposed to do for us? So again, there seems to be a connection between the two. What's the purpose? And finally, the question that we ask every year, I think, but it's a Gemara that you can't not quote in every drasha. And that's the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Chaf on the top of the next page, where the Gemara points out that the gematria of Hasatan is 364. Because there's one day a year that the Satan has no power. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hasatan, the gematria, it's not an Achronish of Torah, it's in the Gemara. The gematria, Tlasmei Avashisin V'Arba'ahavei, 364. Tlasmei Avashisin Arba'ah Yomei, Islei Rishus Alas Tunei. 364 days, there's Rishus. He has Rishus to do his thing. B'Yomei Tekipuri, Leslei Rishus Alas Tunei. In Yom Kippur, he does not. What does that mean for us? How does that help us? How does that affect us? Okay. Let's go back to the question that we asked earlier about the relationship between the Inuyim and Malacha. We'll ask one or two more questions along the way. The Mishnah tells us, and the Gemara expands upon it, in Maseches Yuma, Daf Samach Vav, source number 12, that there was an Ish Iti. There was a man who was designated to take the goat, take the seer out to the Midbar, to Lazazel, and he went, he was fasting, it was boiling hot, and he was walking out with his goat, and there were some sukkahs along the way. And every time he got to a sukkah, they offered, are you hot? You want a drink? You okay? I'll call sukkah v'sukkah, omrimlo. Hare mazon, hare mayan, there's food, there's water. You hungry? And the Gemara says, it was always offered, but it was never used. May olam lo hutzrach adam lakach. That nobody ever needed. The man, the ish iti, never needed it. Ela she'ena dome mishiesh lo pas besalo, lemishein lo pas besalo. But as long as you know it's there, it's easier. The 12-year-old who's going to say, yeah, I want to fast on Yom Kippur, it's not so hard because they know they can break their fast whenever they want. It's the 14-year-old, the 18-year-old. They can't eat. It's much harder. Pas besalo, then it's easier because I know I could eat whenever I want. That's what happened with the ish iti. He knew always had food. Question. It sounds like from the Gemara, and if you look in the Rambam, he says it beferish. When they were offering him food, was he about to die? You need food? Are you about to die? Is it pikuach nefesh? You don't get that impression from the Gemara. It just sounds like, are you exhausted? You're not going to be able to continue your journey unless you eat something. Do you need food? Look at the Rambam's lashon. When he quotes it, the Rambam says in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, I'll call sukkah v'sukkah, omrim lo, harimazon, harimayim, Im kashal kocho, v'tzarach lechal ochel, if he gets weak and he needs food. So they offered it to him. Ask the arsameach, ask for Meir Simcha. What kind of allowance is this? You hungry? You hungry? Here's some food. What do you mean? It's Yom Kippur. Only pikuach nefesh is docha Yom Kippur. How do we allow? How would we allow him to partake of food? Ask the Ar Sameach. Pashyas divrei Rabbeinu. The pashyas of the Rambam is dehutshu lo lecho afimeinu mesukan. Rak shelo yuchal avir lazazel. You can't make it to the cliff? Okay, have some food. Why would that be allowed? It's not pikuach nefesh. What's nidche? What is the ish iti allowed to do? He's allowed to be doche malacha. He's allowed to carry whatever he needs to carry out to the midbar. But eating? Why should his avoda be doche eating? Or a similar question. Similar question. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein asked this question. Rav Aaron or I forgot who. It's Rav Aaron or Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron maybe said the next point. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, I think. Moed katan daf tes. Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash. When did he finally, when was he mechanich the Beis HaMikdash? When was the party? Tishrei. A 2-week party. You can't have a party without food. They celebrated with food and drink. They ate on Yom Kippur. By Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash, they ate on Yom Kippur. Because Shlomo HaMelech said, it's a party. Says the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Tes, Amar Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, O Sashana Lo Asu Yisrael Es Yom HaKippurim. That year they didn't do Yom Kippur. Interesting, do Yom Kippur. Doesn't say they didn't fast. They didn't do, as if, like we said before, there's some type of kiyum. They didn't do Yom Kippur. Vayudogim Va'omrim, and they were nervous. Shema Nischaivu Sonem Sha Yisrael Kliya. Maybe we did something wrong. Yotasa Basko va'amr lachem. The Basko goes out and says, Kulchem uzumanim l'chai olam haba. Nothing to worry about. You're all going to olam haba. All going to olam haba. Baruch Hashem. But how did they do it in the first place? How did they darshan it in the first place? Says the Gemara, they darshan the kal v'chomer. They darshan the kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? Uma, if in the days of the Mishkan, they could bring a Mishkan which only has temporary Kedusha. They could bring a carbon yachid, which is doche Shabbos, so the Beis HaMikdash, and to bring a carbon sibur, the Beis HaMikdash says eternal kedusha, carbon sibur, kal v'chomer, that it should be doche Yom Kippur. Shabbos is even more chomer than Yom Kippur. That's the kal v'chomer. If Mishkan could be doche Shabbos, which is even more chomer than Beis HaMikdash, should even be doche Yom Kippur. Wait a minute. Doche what? Doche melacha. You're allowed to do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. You're allowed to be doche. You're allowed to eat. Were they allowed to eat not kosher? Oh, they could eat treif. How could, of course not. What is the Gemara talking about? They made a kal v'chomer if avoda, surely, so they could eat. What does eating have to do with anything? The Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan is doche avoda. Avoda is a melacha, so you're allowed to do it anyway. But eating? Says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Says the Rav and Rav Aaron. All three generations. The same you sow. The what's the root? And that's the secret of our first point in the Shir. The Isser Malacha of Yom Kippur. And the mitzvah of Inui of Yom Kippur flow from the same source. The same Kedushas Hayom. Yom Kippur itself causes us not to be able to work and not to be able to eat. It's not that there's an Isser Malacha that's parallel to Shabbos and Yontif, and then there's Inui, which is totally unique. Even the Isser Malacha is connected to the not eating. And if we know that the Avoda is Doche, the Isser Malacha, we know it could be Doche, the Isser of eating too. And that's why they didn't eat on Yom Kippur. That's why they ate on Yom Kippur. And the Ish Iti was going to the midbar in the desert. If he could do, they could offer him food. How could they offer him food? Because this avod that he's doing is doche malacha. He could do iser malacha, so he could eat also. Because they're all connected. It flows from the same source. Look in source 16. Shtei mitzvos halalu tso adu zu litzadzu. They go one next to each other. B'matara mishutefes. L'haknos li Yom HaKippurim. They both give to Yom Kippur. It's Ofi Miuchad Shabbos Shabboson. Yom Shal Shvisa Mochletes Minyani Olam Hazeh. Shvisa Mochletes. It's a total cessation. V'chiyal al adashim nechlash a kohen. If the kohen, v'zruch lechol. If the kohen has to eat, are you going to be able to give him not kosher? Of course not. But food, yes. Food, yes. He even says, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik even had the suffix. We'll skip 17 for now. But Rav Moshe Soloveitchik even had the suffix. We know the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin, not on your sources, that a mumar l'chal Shabbos is a mumar l'chal Torah kula. If somebody lahachiz is a machal Shabbos, most mitzvahs a person is not a mumar l'chal Torah kula. If somebody is a mumar for, I don't know, not kosher. Somebody eats not kosher. See, he's not a mumar l'chal Torah kula. He can't be your mashgiach, but you could count for a minion. What happens if somebody's a mumar l'chal Shabbos? Then he's a mumar l'chal Torah kula. A mumar, not a tinok shenishpa. Somebody's a mumar l'chal Shabbos, he's a mumar l'chal Torah kula. He's a heretic. He's treated like a non-Jew for certain halachas. And the Beis Halevi assumes not only mumar l'chal Shabbos, mumar l'yom HaKippurim is also a mumar l'chal Torah kula, because Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. Says the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had a suffix. Does that only mean a mumar for malacha of Yom Kippur? Or even eating and drinking of Yom Kippur? He wasn't sure, but he said, according to this lumdus that we just said, maybe it's all one source. And if it all has one source, then maybe one would be. Even for the Isser Malach. So what do we have so far? What did this all teach us? Everything about Yom Kippur is connected. Everything we do and we don't do. The Isser Malacha, not driving, not riding, not plowing, and not eating and not washing are all connected. What does that tell us? On Shabbos, the Isser Malacha is the goal itself. It's the result. Hashem rested, we rest to imitate and mimic Hashem. Hashem rested, and that's the greatest edus. We don't do Malacha like Hashem didn't do Malacha. On Yom Kippur, there is an element of that, but there's something else as well. And you know that by the fact that the Inui goes with it. The Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur causes the Inui and the Isser Malacha, but then flip it. Both of them are supposed to bring us to a certain Kiyum Shebelev. A certain state that we're supposed to gain. By not eating, by not drinking, by not wearing shoes, by not washing, by not doing malacha. By all of that, we're supposed to achieve a certain state. V'nisim es nafsho seichem. And what's left to do right now is to figure out what is that state. What do we have to, where do we have to be spiritually? What is it supposed to give us? Isser Malacha, we usually think, oh, Isser Malacha, that's not really a focus of Yom Kippur. It is a focus of Yom Kippur. But it's connected to the Tzom. And thus we ask, so what are we supposed to feel? What are we supposed to gain? What state are we supposed to be in? Again, it's all connected to tshuva. But what is it? So here we go. Three ideas. Three ideas of the connection and what it's supposed to bring to us. And then we'll go through the three ideas again and relate it to our lives. Number one, I went over, I should have maybe put on the sheet like more numbers where part one, part two, part three, but I figure it's a weekday, so if anybody wants to mark anything up, feel free, or you can listen to the recording. Idea number one, there is a tragic Gemara in Maseches Tainus, which we'll review, but we'll try to put a positive spin on it. The Gemara is about Nachum Ish Gamzu. Which there are many great stories. Nachum Ish Gamzu was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. He taught Rabbi Akiva to say, Kol David Rachman Latav Avid. He was the one that turned the sand into arrows. He threw the sand that turned it to arrows. But the first half of that Gemara isn't as famous because it's kind of graphic. But there's a message hidden in it. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainis Daf Chaf Aleph, Amru Alav Anachemish Gamzu, Sheyesuma Mishte Einav, he was blind in two eyes. Gide Mishte Yadav, his two arms were amputated. Gide Mishte Yadav, Kiteya Mishte Raglav, Chogufa Malishchin, he was totally mutilated, he was full of boils. He was mamish at tzaddik. There were nisim and aflois that happened for him. So one time his talmidim said, Rebbe, how'd this happen? Lama also l'chakach. How'd this happen to you? Omer lem bana ani garanti latzmi. I brought it upon myself. What does that mean? Shepamachas eiti mahalech baderach lebeis chami. One time I was on my way to my in-laws. V'haya imi masui shlosha chamorim. And I had three bundles of donkey loads. One of food, one of drink, one of meaning of God. Usually you go to your in-laws, you go with anything because your in-laws' house are full of stuff. But here, he was bringing stuff. Okay. And he was bringing tons of food. Ba'ani echad. Va'amali baderch. There was a poor man that met me on the way. Va'amali Rebbe Parnasein. He said, Rebbe, you have anything I could have? Nachemish Gamzu says, Hamtenach Efra ben Achamar. Let me just get off my donkey and I'll unpack something. And I'll find something for you. As I was getting off my donkey, the ani died. Yatasa nishmasa. Halachti v'nafalti apanav, I was a wreck. For his level, he says, why didn't I just reach into my pocket and give him something? I blew it, he said on his level. And he says, oi, the eyes that didn't have proper rachmanis on you should be blinded. The legs that didn't have rachmanis on you, he goes through each part of his body. And his talmidim, after he reaches this state, say, Rebbe, how can we see you like this? Oy lanu sharinu chabakach. Amar lahem, he says, oy li in lo rituni bakach. Woe to me if you didn't see me like this. What's the message for us? Again, he was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. We can't fathom Nachemish Gamzu. We can't fathom his greatness. But the message from the Gemara, not in terms of onesh, but in terms of purpose. Every part of our body, every limb in our body, every talent that we were given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our heart, our liver, our limbs, our skills are all there to use to serve Hashem. Are all there to connect with Him. Every one of them. Nachemish Gamzu saw each one and was punishing each one, but we have to look at it in the positive. We need to use them, and if we misuse them, we need to somehow cleanse them. We need to cleanse each one of our senses, to purge them, in order to then channel them for Avodas Hashem. It's Mefurish in Tefillah Zaka. In Tefillah Zaka, which is said before Kol Nidrei. And again, if somebody runs out of time, you're allowed to say Tefillah Zaka later on too. V'yimakabel alai kedushas yom kippurim v'lisanos bo. I'm makabel the fast with the five inuyim. And what do we say in Tefillah Zaka? V'yidei inuy shel achila, through not eating, I should fix all the inappropriate eatings of the year. When I ate without a bracha, when I ate without kavana, when I overate, and through not washing, I will fix and be mechaper for all the washings that were inappropriate. And through we go through each part of our body. And through the malacha, what is that saying? We're trying to take every aspect of our life and cleanse it and purge it and then use it letova. To use a modern mashal, Yom Kippur is about rebooting our lives. Sometimes we get frozen. The computer freezes and we start banging buttons and we're screaming at the computer. What is going on? Why isn't this working? I ask my kids, what's going on? Whatever. And then sometimes it's not frozen. It's just doing things that it's messed up. Okay, turn it off, turn it on. Yom Kippur is restart. We focus on every area of our life. Eating, drinking, walking, working. And we go to the other extreme. In order to at least turn off and restart. And sometimes we have to go to the other extreme in order to do this. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Nazir, remember the story, Shimon HaTzadik, one of the greats of the Asher Kedetz HaGadol, said, I never met a Nazir that I was proud of. I never met a Nazir that I wanted to partake of his karbon, because I never knew whether they were L'shem Shemayim or not, except for one. Except for one Nazir. Who was it? I saw a Nazir. He had gorgeous hair. Gorgeous, beautiful locks. And I went to him. Boy Lyman Adorim, Yafe Naim Tov Rowi, he was a handsome guy. Futsos of Sturos Lotalim. Amarti Lobini Marisa was Shachay Seir Na Kazeh. Why'd you become a Nazir? Another month you're gonna have to shave your head. Amar Li Roa Hayisi Lo Avi. I was a shepherd for my father. Falachti Lishov Maim and Amayan. I went to draw water from the Maayan. I looked in the mirror in the water, I saw my reflection. And I was like, wow, I'm pretty handsome. Pretty good. Whoa. Oops. All of a sudden, I caught myself. I'm like, what? I said, I need to do something. And I was no doer Naziris right there. Because I have to go to the other extreme to get rid of my hair in order to start it again. Shimon HaTzadik says, Sheyirbu Kamoscha B'Yisrael. That was a Bechina of Yom Kippur. When we have to cleanse and reboot. And that's what the Inuyim and the Isser Malacha does together. It stops everything in our life in order to then start again in a tahar and a clean way. Number one. Second idea about Yom Kippur, about what the purpose is. We know the Gemara tells us, Daf Ayin Tes in Yuma, that the shear for eating on Yom Kippur is different than the rest of the year. Right, the shear of eating, as always, we know. The Gemara tells us that the shear for eating on Yom Kippur is different than the shear of eating the rest of the year. Usually the shear is a kezayis. Because it says, lo sochal, the isser achila is kezayis. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, we know it's different. Yom Kippur, the shear is a koseves, it's a larger shear. Size of a date. Why? Why is it large? Because it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, don't eat. It says, afflict yourself. And the Chazal say, Yuma Ayin Tes, less than a date, we are in a state of affliction. A state of affliction. On Yom Kippur, we feel agitated. We feel uncomfortable. We feel unsettled. We feel out of sorts. We don't feel like ourselves. Guess what? That's the point. Part of Yom Kippur is to feel uncomfortable and a little achi and a little chisaron and to feel our humanness. That's what the day's about, to feel human, to feel basar vadam, to feel that we don't have everything we need. Because if we physically recognize our chisronos, then it's easier to feel our existential chisronos, our spiritual chisronos. If we feel relaxed and comfortable, how much tshuva can we do if we're sitting on our most comfortable chair in the den with a nice, you know, iced coffee? I don't drink coffee, but I can imagine, you know, a nice iced coffee and relaxing with our feet up. Yeah, I'm in the mood to do tshuva. I mean, come on, there's not a chance. If we're sitting on a hard chair, focused on what we're supposed to be doing, then there's a better chance. When we feel and recognize our vulnerability, our humanness, we're agitated. We feel out of it. We're not involved in everything we're usually involved in as human beings. Malacha or eating or drinking or washing or showering. We feel different. That's the point. Rabbi Bernstein, or even before we get to there, the Shebel Yalekhet says, unlike other Rishonim, you know why there's a miss of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? Because the contrast will make it even harder. If we eat a lot on Erev Yom Kippur, then on Yom Kippur it'll eat. Because it's about being uncomfortable. And the Sefer Yerayim even says, Rav Elazar ben Metz, Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, there's no mitzvah of Simchas Yontif on Yom Kippur, because it says, Ta'anu es nafsho seichem. Affliction. And now, Rabbi Bernstein in his Sefer on Shuvah, tells us the first step towards meaningful repentance and change is to be agitated, to be shaken up. The complacency with which we surround ourselves throughout the year has to be removed if anything real is to happen on this day. If we feel relaxed, if we feel great, it's much harder to connect, to do tshuva, to realize that we are dependents. You know, we all fill out our tax returns. How many dependents do you have? Oh, I have this many dependents. As the kids get older, I get less and less dependents on me. You know what? Our spiritual tax return. We are dependents. And we have to recognize that. And it's a good feeling, because then it's about the next step of taking that to focus on who we are dependent on. Rashi tells us in Parshas Ekev, Eina demorid b'akadosh baruch hu, ela mitoch svia. We rebel against Hashem if we feel satiated. V'yachalde v'savata uveirachta. V'rongu v'avecha v'shachachta es Hashem alokecha. We have to do what we can to use the feeling of being agitated, of being uncomfortable. But idea number two here is that's the point. Be a little out of it. It doesn't mean to hurt ourselves. Chas v'shalom. It doesn't mean to put ourselves in pain. The Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Ayin Dalet, Tanuas Tashos Eichem, Yochol Yeshev Achama, you might think that you should sit in the sun. You might think that this year, because we're all davening outside, you should dafka minyan at 12 in the afternoon, so it's 95 degrees and we're sweating and it's uncomfortable. The Gemara says, Kamash Balan, no, don't be silly. It's not about being in pain, but being uncomfortable is part of the goal. And that's number two. Number one, rebooting our lives. Cleansing, purging. Number two, being a little uncomfortable and agitated. Physically brings to existentially. But the third idea is the opposite of the second idea. Because there are many sources that tell us, and again, we're going to get messages from both. There are many sources that tell us that being uncomfortable on Yom Kippur is not about being uncomfortable. That's not the goal. That's not the goal. Right? There are some Amora, and the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, on Daf Ayin Ches, that there were some Amora that tried to find substitutes, how to stay cool on Yom Kippur if they couldn't take a shower. Amar of Yehuda, source 29. Mutter lehitztanin beperos. You could take cold fruit and rub it on yourself. Right? Now there's a new fad to put these cold ice things on your neck. Right? To keep your whole body cool. Anything wrong with that in Yom Kippur? No! There's nothing wrong with it. Rav Yehuda mitztanin bekrai. He used gourd. Rav mitztanin beyanuka. I know, it depends on the body temperature. Yanuka's a child. You have cold kids or warm kids. Rava Mitzani Bekisa the Kasvi took a silver cup. Why are they doing that? Because the Isser is washing. The Chulu and other examples are given. And of course, many Rishonim, most Rishonim say that the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is not about making it worse. This was a Shabbat Shuvah Drasha 10 years ago or so, but the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Rashi and the Rosh, Rashi in source 31, Kala Ochel Vishose, Fahi Mash Makra, anybody who eats and drinks on Erev Yom Kippur, Vinisa Betisha, Klomar, Hatkein Atzmacha, Betisha, prepare yourself on the 9th, Shetucha Lisanos Basara, so that you could fast on the 10th. And the Rosh is even more expansive. Hachinu Atzmachem, Hashem only tells you to fast one day a year. And guess what? He tells you to eat the day before, the only weekday of the year that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat. This Sunday, Erev Yom Kippur. Hachinu atzvachem betisha l'chodesh, l'schazik b'chin l'vishasiya. Strengthen yourself to eat and drink, k'dei shetuchlu l'zanos l'machar, so that you'll be able to fast tomorrow. L'haros chibaso shalamakom. This is to show how much Hashem loves you. K'adam sheish lo yelet shashuim. Like a man who has to tell his son he has to fast. have to eat a lot beforehand so you don't feel it. Only one day a year we have a mitzvah to fast. And therefore the day before he gives us a mitzvah to eat. So no, maybe it's not about being uncomfortable. Okay, that was an idea, but many sources point in a different direction. So maybe there's a third idea. A third idea of the Inui and the Tzom. And maybe it's already hinted to in the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. The Sefer HaMitzvos in the Rambam, we know the Rambam does not list it by parsha like the Sefer HaChinuch. He has clusters of mitzvos. We don't really know exactly, but we know he groups certain mitzvos together. The mitzvah right before the Isser of eating on Yom Kippur, the one right beforehand, Kuf Tzadi Hei, Source 34, is the Isser of being a glutton, Ben Sarah Amora. She's Iranu Miyo Zolel Vesove, B'machol V'mishte. It's an Isser to be too much into Gashmias. And then the very next mitzvah, fast on Yom Kippur. What's the connection? Maybe another idea relating to the Tzom and the Inui, maybe the most pashut idea that many of you might have been thinking, is that Yom Kippur is a day that we leave this world. Yom Kippur is a day that we go away from what Ben Sora Mora symbolizes. The Isser of being so much into Gashmias. What's the next mitzvah? Be totally into Ruchnias. Be an angel. Be a malach. Don't focus on your regular human needs, human senses, human activities. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky even notes, we mentioned this years ago, part of the mitzvah of eating on Yom Kippur is to create the contrast, the shvisa. We eat on Yom Kippur and then stop eating and don't eat on Yom Kippur. We eat on Erev Yom Kippur and we don't eat on Yom Kippur to create the contrast so that we show ourselves that we're in a different realm. It's Nikar, it's a Shvisa Nikares. Says Rabbi Yaakov, Ikbita Torah She'inu She'yom Asiri, Tzorach LaHaschil, Miyom HaShishi, HaChi. Where is it? Where's his Lashon of being Nikar? Right, being Nikar on the left side, he says. Nikar Ha'inui. Because we're in a totally different world. Yom Kippur is a day of Shvisa. Cessation from malacha, from parnasa, from activities, from eating, from drinking, from anything that has to do with this world. It's a day that we go into the world of angels. And unlike the rest of the year, where, as the Kutzker says, Anshi Kodesh Ti Yun Li, be holy people, that's what I need, I have enough angels. On Yom Kippur, that's not the call. On Yom Kippur, it's to be like angels. But to be angelic as much as possible. And maybe to wear white, as angels wear white, whatever that means. The Medrash tells us in the Yalkut Shimoni, one of the angels, Samael, Ro'a Samael Shalom Matzah Ben Chay, this is an Achremos, Yom Kippur. Samael sees that we don't have any sin on Yom Kippur. V'amar Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Yesh Lecha Am Echad Ba'aretz, Dome L'malachei Hashareis. You have a nation on this world that's malachim. Ma malachei asharis yachvei regel, just like angels are barefoot. Kach Yisrael yachvei regel b'yom kippurim. So too the Jews are barefoot. Ma malachei asharis einlam kfeitzin v'omdin. Af Yisrael omdim b'yom kippurim. They stand. Ma malachei asharis ein b'fin achila v'shesiya. They don't eat and drink. Kach Yisrael ein b'fin achila v'shesiya. Your nation is a nation of angels. And that's the third idea. And that's why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so we don't have to feel so bad on Yom Kippur. And that's why Rav Sternbach says in the Moedim Hazmanim, so we're like angels. And there's no satan on Yom Kippur. We're in Hashem's world. And if we do it right, this is a feeling that we could take with us throughout our lives. Rav Mirsky in the third volume notes that the word Ne'ilah usually means, the positive Ne'ilah is that the gates of Shemayim are closing. Ne'ilah is closing. Says Ermersky, maybe there's a deeper idea. He quotes from some of the Hasidic masters. There's another idea of Ne'ilah. What else can Ne'ilah mean? See, he quotes a thought that we've mentioned maybe in other contexts. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Chagiga that by the Ole Regel, when we all went up to Yerushalayim, the Kohanim held up the Shulchan. Held up the Shulchan. And showed all the Jews there, look at these breads. The breads were fresh. They were, every Shabbos they were switched. What was the nace? They stayed fresh a week later, like they just came out of the oven. The Lechem Aponim, one of the 10 miracles. Ask the Mefarshim, why was that nace Dafka the one that was showed to the Ole Regel? There were a lot of nisim. Why Dafka that one was picked and showed to the Ole Regel? Because the message is, the Kohanim were telling us, you have this feeling of Aliyah L'Regel. You have this moments and feelings of inspiration. Don't let it wane. Don't lose it. Stay fresh even a week later. Stay hot. Stay piping hot. That was what they told the Ole Regel. Take it with you. Take it with you. That's why that's the nace that was shown. And he quotes the Rimmon of her, who says, maybe that's Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is not just the gates closing upstairs, but we have to close the feeling into our hearts and take it with us. Everyone feels it by Hashemu Elokim, by the Avinu Malkeinu, by Ne'ilah. It always gets me when Yom Kippur's on Shabbos. We don't say Avinu Malkeinu all day except by Ne'ilah, because that's it. It's now or never. It's always like, Chasmeinu. So we all feel it by Ne'ilah. We have to be Noel it into our hearts. And it's a day that we're like angels. And we have to take that with us. And that's the third idea. So just to review what we've done so far. Our first point was that the mitzvah of Inuy of Yom Kippur, the 5 Inuyim, eating, drinking, washing, shoes, everything, and the Isser Malacha aren't two different worlds. It's one idea. They flow from the same Kedushas Hayom. And that's why you have all those rayas that the Iti could eat and they ate in the Beis HaMikdash. It's one idea to give us a kiyum of something, a state of inui. So what is that meant to do for us? Number one, it's meant to cleanse so we could reboot every aspect of our life, our eating, our drinking, our seeing, our work. Number two, it's to feel uncomfortable. To feel not like ourselves. Feel dependent. Feel lacking. Because that's a good thing, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number three, to be angelic. To recognize that we're in a different world on Yom Kippur. The Satan's not around. So let's talk about each one of these. We need to reboot our lives. Cleanse and purge and redirect. We need to take those very kochos that we have and to switch them to positive usage. The Gemara in Brachas tells us, Chana knew this. What does Chana say to Hashem? Chana says, you didn't give me a child? So what's my body for? So many body parts of the female is there to have children. Chana says to Hashem, what am I here for? Because Chana knew that everything is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. Says Chana, Kol ma shebarasa b'isha, lo barasa davar echad levatala, einayim liros, aznayim lishmoa, chotem lariach, peladaber, yodayim lasmei malacha, every aspect. Who am I supposed to nurse, Chana says. Because she knew that every part of our lives and every limb in our body is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to recognize that. To use every koach that we have to redirect it towards Him. Rabbi Eisenman is a Rav in Passaic, New Jersey. He writes the following story. He says that there was a fire in the next town over a couple years ago. And the Rav, who was a friend of his from the next town, asked him to sign a letter with the 5 neighboring rabbis to try to raise some funds for this family. There was a fire. The people, the family lost their house. They wanted to collect funds. So they all signed this letter, whatever you could give. And they wrote at the bottom, whatever you could do to help the family would be appreciated. And they all signed it. About a month later, the Rav called him up and says, I'm going to visit the family now. You signed the letter. You want to come and join me? He says, sure, I'll come. Give him some chizik. So he goes to the family. They see they're broken. They're getting back together, getting their life back in order. They're in a rental apartment meanwhile. And they're sitting there. And they say, everything, Baruch Hashem, is moving in the right direction. But, what Edith Bateman does is just amazing. It's a made-up name. What does she do? Edith Bateman, she was a woman who lived by herself, lived on the other side of town, a Holocaust survivor. What does she do? Every Monday she comes, she takes all of our laundry, all the kids' laundry, she takes it in a basket, she goes home, she washes it, she comes back, she gives it back, folded, pressed, cleaned. It's amazing what she does. And they had a bunch of kids, and they're like, Edith Bateman. Whoa. So after they left, they said, let's go visit Edith Bateman. They went to her. She lived on the other side of town in a rundown neighborhood, a rent-controlled apartment. They go up to the 13th floor. It's hot, stuffy, no air conditioning. She opens the door. She's like, what, Rabbi? What are you? They're like, nothing. No, just came to visit. How's everything doing? Good. Yeah. What brings you? We were just at the so-and-so's, and they said you come and do their laundry. How do you do it? She's like, yeah, every Monday I go, I take two buses there, I go there, I take the laundry back on the buses, I come back and I do the laundry. They're like, what could you explain? Mrs. Bateman perked up and began to listen attentively. She began to answer my question. I was in Auschwitz, she told us. My parents and siblings were killed. With the help of Hashem, I survived. There was a long pause. In the camp, she then continued, there was hunger and disease. Death surrounded us on a constant basis. The smell of human flesh consumed was nauseating and filled us with grief and sadness. However, what bothered me personally even more than the hunger was wearing the same worn and odorous clothing every day. We were never allowed to change or clean our clothes. Wearing these wretched garments were torturous to me. I made a promise to Hashem that if He saved me, I would be sure my family always had clean, freshly laundered clothing. I told Hashem that my children would always have clean clothing and I would never complain about having to do laundry. I looked forward to the day when I would be privileged to do laundry for my household of children. However, it was not meant to be. I never merited getting married, and of course, I never merited holding my own child. I worked as a secretary for 30 years, and now I live in a rent-controlled apartment. My only source of income is Social Security. I have no savings and not much of anything. Still, when I heard about the fire, I wanted to help. I have no money to donate, but I realized there was one thing I could do. I could offer to do their laundry. When I called Mrs. Shapiro and asked if I could do her laundry, she said she could go to the laundromat. Some of the neighbors had offered to allow her to use the machines. I told her I'm not taking no for an answer. I came and picked up the laundry. When I do their laundry, I feel so proud and privileged. I can imagine myself as the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. On Thursday afternoon, I begin the trek via two buses back home and deliver the neatly folded and fresh laundry. It's the most enjoyable activity of the week for me. Hashem has allowed me in a way I could never have imagined, and at a time of my life that I never thought possible, to fulfill the promise I made to Him 67 years ago. That's why I do their laundry. I saw your notes where it said on the bottom, whatever you can do to help, no matter how small, please help. And I felt that you were talking to me. It may not be the way I imagined fulfilling the promise, but it's an opportunity, and I will do their laundry with love and a sense of purpose. Using our kochos to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Using our kochos in the way of rebooting our lives. Sometimes we have to do that. We're not frozen. We're not frozen in Shalom Bayis. We're not frozen in Chinuch HaBanim. We feel frozen because the whole world feels frozen. And we're waiting for the time when life, quote unquote, gets back to what it used to be. However that will be and whenever that will be. But we have to say, even in the frozen world that we're in, we're not frozen. And we could reboot and restart. Number two, Yom Kippur is about being uncomfortable, being dependent and being agitated, feeling unsteady, realizing that I'm not in charge. I'm not the balabais. Maybe this aspect is the easiest one for us because we felt that for the past 6 months. We spoke about that a few weeks ago when we spoke about Malchios. But this is about recognizing that there's no guarantees in life. We are dependent, we have chisronos, we are human, and the only thing that is eternal in our lives is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only thing that's steady. The only thing. We can't plan for tomorrow. We can't plan anything. The only thing we can plan is, I'm going to be connected to Hashem tomorrow. That's it. The Rambam's beautiful Lashon. As I like to say, a refrigerator Rambam. Rambam that goes on the fridge, says the Rambam in Hilchot Mezuzah, the last halach of Hilchot Mezuzah, Chayav Adam Lizar B'Mezuzah, B'nei Shechovetz HaKol Tamid, be very careful about Mezuzah, and whenever you pass the Mezuzah, Yetze, Yifka B'Yichud Hashem, V'Yiskar Avaso, V'Yer Mishenaso, you should remember Hashem's love for us, and wake up from sleepwalking through life. And here it is, V'Yeda, and we should always remember, She'ein Davar Ha'omeid La'olamu La'olme Olamim El Yediyas Tzur Olamim Bilvad. The only thing that's eternal is our connection to Hashem. And that's what we feel. Because Yom Kippur is about feeling unsteady. It's about feeling that even in a regular year, feeling that we're not in charge. Remember the Gemara in Yevamos, Kuf Chaf Aleph, the Daf Yomi Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel sees Rabbi Akiva's boat capsize. And he's very nervous. What happened? What happened to my colleague? Pamachas hayiti mahalech b'sfina. V'ra'isa sfini acher shminishbar. I saw another boat that capsized. V'isi mitzar al talmud chacham sheba. Oy, Rabbi Akiva. I start giving shir. Guess who walks into my shir? Rabbi Akiva. Amarti lo b'ni mehalucha. How were you saved? Amar li. Daf shal sfina nizdami li. I saw a plank of wood floating. I grabbed onto it. It's called a daf. The plank of wood, and I just held on for dear life. We feel that we're being drowned. We're being flooded. And we have to hold on. What are we holding on to? This type of feeling of being discomfiture, the feeling of being agitated, the feeling of feeling achi on Yom Kippur, we're hungry. We don't feel clean. We're sweaty. We don't feel good. So that could do two things. One is it could paralyze us. Okay, we're lost, we're helpless. And over the past few months, maybe we've sometimes had those feelings. The whole world is just in a big balagan. Or the reaction that we need to have is that we could choose our own way to view reality. We could view ourselves as dependents, but remember who the independent is. The Mamsi Konimsa. We could be the Rabbi Akiva of our family. And if not today, tomorrow. And guess what? It's not always the same person. Maybe one day, one person in the family could be optimistic. And then they'll have a bad, then the next person. We need the Rabbi Akivas, the optimists, because we need to view realities in different ways. Story is told. It was told in a few ways, but I spoke to my family a couple weeks ago. This is the real way that it should be said. There was a story of two roommates. Two roommates. There was one blind man had a roommate, and his roommate who lived next, he was on the closer to the door. His roommate was next to the window, and every day he asked him, "Can you just tell me what it looks like outside? I can't see anything." He says, "What the weather is? A sunny day. What do you see?" He says, "I see a park, and there's a lake, and then in the lake there's a few ducks, and there's women pushing strollers, and there's kids playing frisbee." Beautiful, and every day he tells him what he sees. And one day the roommate dies, moves out, and the blind man is left there by himself, and he hears somebody come in. He sees one of the nurse aides come in, and he says, you know, my roommate used to always tell me what it was like outside, what the weather, what he sees. Could you tell me, please, what you see outside? What's it like? She says, what's outside? What, outside the window? He says, yeah, what's outside the window? He says, there's a big brick wall there. Now he says, no, the park. The park and the kids playing. She's like, what are you talking about? There's a brick wall there. It's like, when did they build it? 80 years ago. 80 years ago. What? And he realized that his roommate was creating a new reality. And he saw a brick wall, but he didn't view it as a brick wall. What he saw in his mind's eye was a park and mothers and children. Because we might see a brick wall, but it's how we view it, which is all makes all the difference. And we could be mashpia if we view it differently. If we see the park and we see the kids playing, then our family and our kids and our grandchildren, they'll also view it differently, little by little, maybe not at that moment. So yes, we're helpless, so to speak. We're not in charge. We're dependent. But we have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And He's always right there. And He's always very close to us. He's the Baal HaBira. There's never a moment in the world that Hashem is not looking after us. Rav Bitterman tells the story. I heard it about a month ago. He said somebody told it to him about last year. He says, last year, he says, there was a man who was, it's a sukkah story. There was a man who lived in the Manhattan, in one of these big apartment buildings, and he wanted to build a sukkah. And the problem is, he doesn't have a sukkah. What is a sukkah? So the roof. So he goes up to the man who lives on the roof, who, you know, owns that property, and says, you know what, I'm a Jew, I like to build, you know, for a week, we need to build a little hut. Could I build it on there? He says, sure. You could rent it. Rent it. You know, when do you go up there? It's not in such nice weather now. He says, you can rent it. Okay, how much? $700. $700? For 7 days? What am I going to do? It's $700. What could I do? I want to do the mitzvah. Okay, $700. The guy was a stickler, though. He says, fine, but we need a lawyer document. Because I don't want you to just going on my property. Let's get a lawyer document. For a week, it'll be your porch and... He's like, no, the lawyer fees. Got some lawyers here in the audience. You pay by the hour, by the minute, you know? So it's like, he's like, take it or leave it. He's like, what am I going to do? He's like, another $500. Okay, I want to do the mitzvah. $1,200. Okay, he has the document. He puts it at home. He goes 3 days before Sukkot, gives him the key. He goes up to the roof. The roof is disgusting. Like it hasn't been touched since they built the building. There's like the black tar. You know, that stuff that's on in piles, and there's empty pails. He's like, oh, gosh. And he just needs a room for a sukkah. So he starts a broom and sweeping and this and that. And he's there for 1 day. After 3 days, tomorrow night is sukkahs. After 3 days, he finally finishes. And as he's cleaning towards the end, he sees in the corner there's like a sack. He looks into the sack, and he sees in the sack are pearls and diamonds. He's like, what is this? And he sees there's a name on the sack. It's not the name of the landlord, of the guy. He takes the sack, he brings it to the police. He's a good boy, he's not going to keep it. He brings it to the police. He says, I found this, I don't know whose it is. There was a name. So the police do their research, they look him up. The man had died and did not leave any relatives. The police say, it's your lucky day. Finders keepers. The landlord gets wind of it. He's like, no, it was on my roof. No, wait a minute. He was trespassing. It was on my roof. He says, no, 1 second. I have a lawyer's documents here. Cost him $500. It gave him thousands. Kadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. Kadosh Baruch Hu was the independent. Yes, sometimes we feel helpless. We're uncomfortable. We feel unkept. But that physical... E-Nochut is meant to bring us to a spiritual state of recognizing in charge, of recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that we take comfort in. And the third idea. malachim. We are like angels. We are in a different sphere. Hasatan, Hasata, Gematria 364. Today we're in Shamayim. Today we're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today we're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've mentioned in the past the thought of the Be'er Yosef. We'll skip 42 for a minute. The Be'er Yosef asks, actually I'll ask. Be'er Yosef doesn't ask this question. What's the message of Ne'ilas HaSandal? Now that I wear leather shoes. Why that? Sounds seems so arbitrary. Leather shoes? So ask the Be'er Yosef. Every morning we say in Birchas HaShachar, She'asa li kol tzarki. And the Mefarshim explain, what are we supposed to think about when we make that bracha? Hashem does all my needs, our shoes. We're supposed to think about our shoes. Hashem gives us shoes. And the question is, kol tzarki is shoes? Why is that? And thirdly, why do we take off our shoes in a makom kadosh? The first words that Hashem ever says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha, ki ha'makom asher ata omed alav admas kodeshi. Why the shoes? What's symbolic? So explains the Shlach HaKadosh based on the Sefer Kuzari, the Marshal based on the Kuzari, that we know that there are four levels of being that the Kuzari has. Domim, Someah, Chai, Medaber, Domim, the inanimate objects, the rocks and the dirt, Someach, the growers, plants, flowers, Chai, animals, Medaber, humans, people. That's the pyramid. Each level uses the level under it to exist. Trees grow in dirt and soil. Animals, at least some of them, eat plants. People use animals and plants and everything under it. Man is on top of the pyramid because man uses everything to survive and to exist. Wearing shoes symbolize that dominion that we have over all of creation. Shoes being leather, that's animals. Animals are over plants. Putting on shoes, she'asali kol tzarki, symbolizes Hashem gives us everything we need. She'asali kol tzarki. That symbolizes that we're on top of the pyramid. When we are in a makom kadosh, admas kodesh, we take off our shoes. We don't have dominion. Lazos b'makom shenikleis hashchina, makomu shemalach malchei amlachim. Shem aser b'nilas hasandal, says the Be'er Yosef. Hamor asoro memshala. So we take off our shoes because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, not us. I bow to the real authority. And by Yamakom Kadosh we take off our shoes. And in the Beis HaMikdash, we take off our shoes. And I'll add, and on Yom Kippur, we take off our shoes. Because on Yom Kippur, we're not here. Or so to speak, Hashem is here, but we're malachim. We're in a different realm on Yom Kippur. And if you look back in the Igra de Pirka, that's the Bnei Yisachar, he says in the previous source, he relates it to Yom Kippur, on the top of the page. Umazeh matzanu re'inu kipshuto. We usually wear shoes, the way he says it is that because the ground is cursed. Right, from Adam and Chava. So you have to have a hefsik between yourself and the ground. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, there's nothing cursed. Everything is baruch, because everything is spiritual. And everything is angelic. And we can be one with the world on Yom Kippur, because it's kulo kadosh. And it's a world of angels. We just have to believe that we're in the world of angels. We just have to believe that it's in us to be able to reach those levels. Rav Kreisworth, former chief rabbi of Antwerp, told over that right before the war, a man in his town comes over to him and gives him a card, gives him a little petek. And he says, I don't know if I'm going to make it out of the war, but this is a Swiss bank account number. Find my children, find my family, and let him know, give him this number. The man didn't make it out of the war. Rav Kreisworth did, Baruch Hashem. And he looked. He always remembered what he promised to do. And he looked. He never found it. He couldn't find anybody after the war. 20 years later, on a regular weekday in Antwerp, there was a mishulach. There was a guy coming to collect stock. I came into shul. Rav Kreisworth was always very inviting. He says, "Where are you from? What's your name?" He hears the name. All of a sudden, something clicks. He says, "Could you stay for a minute after davening?" He says, "Yeah." Thought he would get something. He sits down with him. He asks him his name. He asks him where he's from. He asks him the identifying questions. He was the son. He runs to his study, takes out the card, and he says, "Here's a bank account number." And Rav Kreisworth said, "This man thought for so many years that he was poor. He thought that he didn't have anything. He didn't. He was wrong. It was always inside of him. He just didn't realize it. He was rich. It was always in him. He just didn't recognize it. He didn't realize what he had inside." Sometimes we could go through all of our life and not tap into the accounts that we have. We all have those accounts. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows us the card. On Yom Kippur, the sky's the limit. We have to recognize we could be amongst angels. There's another story told. It might be apocryphal. There's a machlokas on the internet whether it's a true story or not. But either way, Houdini, Harry Houdini, died in 1926, right? Known as being able to break any lock, get out of any safe. It was super. One time there was one of the islands on the British Isles invited him. We have a jail you can never get out of. It's like, really? They were going to pay him. Okay, he goes. Flies there. He goes. He always had to just wear in his own clothes. He goes into the jail. They close the door. And he goes in and they said, 2 hours. 2 hours, good. He takes out from his belt. He has this little pole that he always uses to try to break locks. He sticks it in and he's fiddling and he's trying and he's pushing and he's this and he's that. This is a tough one. He's working and pushing and cruxing and bending and this. Nothing's working. He's trying to, but he doesn't know what to do. He's trying, he's running at an hour and a half, an hour 40 minutes, an hour 45 minutes. He's like, this is never, it's going to be so embarrassing. Hour 55 minutes, he has 5 minutes left. He has no idea. He says, I'm going to be a failure. I'm going to be the laughing stock. I can't figure this one out. And he just puts his hand on his head and he leans against the lock. And it flies open. They didn't lock it. Sometimes we think that we're in a locked situation. We think there's no way to get out. We're locked into our family situation. We're locked into our davening situation. We're locked into anything. This is the way it is. We're frozen. And we have to recognize sometimes we just got to lean on the door. Because we could do it. And we could be angelic. The doors are not all locked. We just have to give a little push. And recognize that there's so much that we could do. So we spoke about three ideas related to the Inuyim of Yom Kippur and the Isser Malacha of Yom Kippur. They're connected. We spoke about number one. It's about cleansing and purging and ultimately rebooting our life and using all of our kochos, like Mrs. Bateman did, using all of our kochos to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, it's about feeling uncomfortable and feeling a lack and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that, not being paralyzed by the feeling of helplessness, but realizing there's somebody that's always there. There's someone that's in charge. Melech Malchei Hamlachim. And finally, the third idea is, so we go away from everything we're involved in this world. And we realize we could be in the world of angels. We could be Ruchani. There's no door that's locked. And it's inside of us. We just don't realize it. We just have to remember the card that we're shown. We have to remember this as we take off during this Yom Haran period. It doesn't matter where we land. We can land in the same airport. But we have to do what we can on the journey. We say the bracha on Yom Kippur. Brachat Hashem, Kenem Machlam, Hamocha, V'Soleach La'Avonoseinu. One of the Bali Musar say, what kind of bracha is that? Hamocha, V'Soleach La'Avonoseinu. He says, imagine there's a parent that has a bag of lollipops, and the child wants the lollipop, and then the parent says, later, not now, not now. He's like, no, I want one. No, not now. Then the child has a secret weapon. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, shehakol nehyeh bedvaro. Now what? You force the parents' hands. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Soleach u'moche la'avonoseinu v'la'avonos amo beis Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we said it. We don't want it to be a bracha levatala. Because that's all we want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Erev Yom Kippur, Tavshin Vav, 1946. The DP camp, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, was getting ready for Yom Kippur. Just a few hours before Yom Kippur, there was a knock on the door. He opens the door, there was a little girl there, maybe 7, 8 years old. And he says, what could I do for you? She said, Rebbe, every Erev Yom Kippur, my father used to give me a bracha. I don't have a father right now. Could you please give me a bracha? The Kleisenberger Rebbe wipes away a tear and says, sure. And he gives her a bracha. 5 minutes later, there's another knock on the door. And it's another girl. Rebbe, my father used to give me a bracha every Erev Yom Kippur. Please give me a bracha. 80 girls. And that was the Erev Yom Kippur of the Kleisenberger Rebbe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're here. It's been a tough year. We're knocking on the door. We usually have Yom Kippur in shul, Barov Am Hadras Melech. We usually have time to think about Yom Kippur and know how to prepare. We usually have our kids in school and they're also getting into the mood for Yom Kippur. But not this year. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dafaknu de lasecha. Please give us a bracha. Could you please give us a bracha? That Tavshin Pei Aleph should be a year of geula. That all the darkness in the world, there's never been so much darkness in the world in the history of the world, so much all over, should be a step towards the greatest light in the world. And the greatest geula and Yeshua and Nechama, and Refuah. And we should look back at this year as the Tzlach writes in Psachim on Daf Nun. When Mashiach comes, we're going to say only Atova Meitim, not Dayana Emes, not only because there's not going to be any Tzaris, but we're going to look back at the Tzaris that were and realize they weren't Tzaris. We can't do that yet. Rachmana Litzlan, there's been too many Dayana Emeses this year. Hashem, we need a bracha. We need a bracha. We're knocking on your door. The Kleisenberger Rebbe gave brachos. Please give us a bracha. A year of geula. A year of Yeshua. A year that we get to see the Kohen Gadol Manedar. Going out from the Kohen Kodesh Kadashim. We get to sing with all Jews. Not closing the doors to all Jews. But opening the doors to all Jews. Yehi Ratzon, that all of our brachas and all of our tears and all of our hopes and aspirations for the coming year be realized individually, nationally, universally, and we should be mekayim this Yom Kippur, and we should be zoche to all the brachos that Hashem has in store for us. Shana Tova and Chag Sameach.